Welcome to the Sports Business Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Berger.
You can find the Sports Business Radio Podcast 15 years, over 600 episodes featuring conversations with the biggest names in sports like David Stern, Pete Carroll, Chris Evert, Jeannie Buss, Michael Vick, Andre Iguodala, Mark Cuban, Tom Rinaldi, Charles Barkley, Jack Nicklaus, Lindsey Vonn, Eric Spoelstra, Aaron Rodgers, and Steve Nash on iTunes or at sportsbusinessradio.com. Subscribe, rate, and review the Sports Business Radio Podcast on iTunes, and everyone who posts a review on iTunes will be eligible to be selected to join us in our studio audience at one of our Sports Business Radio roadshows presented by Boingo. And we're also on Spotify now, so you can find us there. Follow us in between podcasts on Twitter at SB Radio. We've been named a top 50 follow by Forbes.com for three consecutive years, and on Instagram at Sports Business Radio. Well, thanks for joining us on this edition of Sports Business Radio. I'm joined, as always, in studio by executive producer Brian Griggs. Griggs, just a super busy week. We have lots to discuss on the show this week, from NBA to U.S. Women's National Team winning the World Cup. We've got some NFL news, and it's Major League Baseball All-Star Game, so lots to cover on this week's show.
Lots going on, and I enjoyed the home run derby. Lots of home runs in that home run derby, so that was kind of fun. 91 home runs, and you still lose?
I mean, that's crazy.
Crazy.
So in the history of the home run derby, I think Jock Peterson has 99 home runs, and that's through two home run derbies.
Crazy.
Vlad Guerrero Jr., his first ever home run derby, 91 home
runs.
Not
bad.
And loses.
and
we'll get to this. I'm kind of, putting the cart ahead of the horse. But, Vlad Guerrero and Pete Alonso, who won from the Mets, they make $550,000 this year. And the payout for winning the Derby, $1 million. So you're essentially doubling your salary for the entire year by winning the home run derby. It's got a lot of meaning to them versus, someone who's making $20 million a year.
Well, and I think baseball does it well, too, because there's meaning to the All-Star game because you get the playoff advantage.
Yeah, but
it's better than some leagues.
Yeah.
And you get the home run derby payout. So people are actually showing up to play. And it was a great showing. Crowd was big time into it. I thought ESPN did a great job. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more. It's in Cleveland. I just don't know that the Major League Baseball All-Star game has much buzz around it anymore, and the ratings play that out, but yeah, we'll talk about that later in the show.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Hiring is challenging, but apparently not for Jerry West and the LA Clippers, who hired two superstars in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in the past week. But it's not as easy as the Clippers' brain trust made it look. So there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/SBR. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/SBR. That's ZipRecruiter.com/SBR. ZipRecruiter.com/SBR. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
Let's start with NBA because since our last show, everyone was sitting around waiting what's going to happen with Kawhi. And we on this show really thought that the longer this went on, the better it looked for him to go back to Toronto. So could the Clippers find a second star for him? You just didn't think he was going to go to the Lakers despite all the noise, because that doesn't fit Kawhi's personality, that he's going to go join a super team and be the third wheel on that team and take a backseat to LeBron. So the longer this played out, you're kind of like, well, I guess he's going to go back to Toronto. But then, as a lot of these deals happen, Griggs, it all happens in the dark of the night. Like, we think we know what's going on, but we really don't. And there's so many reporters, and I won't throw anyone under the bus, but so many reporters. It's a done deal to the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's 99.9% he's going back to Toronto. Like, everyone thought that they knew what was going on, and in actuality, except for the teams themselves, no one knew what was going on. And it ended with Kawhi going to the Clippers, but the way he got to the Clippers, Griggs, is he recruited Paul George, who played for Oklahoma City, and who signed a big deal before last season, seemed committed to OKC, and he went to Paul George and said, I want you to be the second star here. I want to play with you. You can come home to LA. You need to go to the Thunder and to Sam Presti and ask for a trade. And as I tweeted out, this was really interesting because Paul George has 2 years left on his contract. So to go ask for a trade, OKC could have just said, hey, sorry, dude, you got two more years left. We're not trading you. You don't really have any leverage. But what has happened now is we've seen with Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George before when he was in Indiana, if you're not happy somewhere, you just make yourself a distraction, so you force a trade. And Sam Presti didn't want that to happen. But even more importantly here is supposedly there was a deal on the table that would have sent Russell Westbrook and Paul George to Toronto. And the Clippers are looking at the prospect of coming away with nothing. Because Kawhi went to Jerry West and company at the Clippers and basically said, look, go get Paul George and I'll sign with you. So the Clippers knew that they had to pay whatever it cost to go get Paul George. And here's what it cost, Griggs. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the really promising second-year point guard. Danilo Gallinari, who's a really solid small forward, not a superstar, but, you know, 18 to 20 points a game guy. Four unprotected first-round picks, a protected first-round pick, and two future pick swaps. So we talked last week about the haul that New Orleans got for Anthony Davis. Griggs, this is even better.
Yeah.
And Paul George is a good player, but he had two shoulder surgeries in the last year. He has a rod in his leg from that gruesome leg injury he had a few years ago. This is not a guy who has been a clean bill of health. And that's the haul that you got for Paul George. So the Clippers knew that they had to go get Paul George in order to get Kawhi Leonard. So it's really like you're making this trade to acquire Kawhi and Paul George. But if you're OKC, Sam Presti extracted full value from the Clippers because he's like, hey, I know if you don't get Paul George, you're not getting Kawhi. So I'm in the driver's seat on the negotiation here. And now what's happened, Griggs, is a few things. The Clippers have become the favorite to win the NBA title. The Battle of LA in the Staples Center in the hallway series is lit now. I mean, you've got LeBron and AD, and then you've got Kawhi and Paul George. And, you know, Doc versus Frank Vogel, Jerry West versus the team he used to work for, the Lakers, and the team he's most synonymous with. But all kinds of implications, and it also impacts four franchises, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Raptors, and OKC. And it's rare that you see one move impact four franchises.
Yeah, it's just baffling. We talked about a little bit last week about how these guys recruit. It's just crazy, like you said, in the wee hours of the night in the morning, Kawhi is talking to Paul George. And
yeah.
You know, people kind of heard a little bit about it, but it's like you don't really see it. And then wham, here's this massive trade. And all of a sudden the Clippers are number one in Vegas. It's just crazy.
Well, and the thing that was interesting is the night this was announced, so July 5th, it's like 11 o'clock Pacific time. We live on the West Coast, so we're still awake, but everyone in the East is asleep.
Yeah.
They wake up the next day to this news. There had been earthquakes in L.A., and this earthquake surpassed, you know, that earthquake.
Right.
So people were already, like, awake and on edge and what's going on. And, I mean, the recruiting for Kawhi by the fans, I mean, social media was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
NBA Twitter, we just saw Kawhi at the AM/PM, and he's eating these chips, and this means he's going to sign with the Lakers.
I love it.
I mean, they're tracking his private plane or the Maple Leaf Sports private plane, and the level of following Kawhi
right.
in Toronto, in L.A., wherever he was going, it was crazy, but he basically had those four teams held hostage. And, you know, we didn't know OKC was part of this, but they were. So now, just quickly, let's look at the ramifications moving forward. So, again, the Clippers have their two superstars. They have Lou Williams. They've got Montrezl Harrell. They kept, you know, some of their other core pieces, Patrick Beverley. Their defense is going to be really good. You have to think they're going to manage Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Those guys probably play 60 to 65 games a year. I'm sure part of this was Kawhi gets to hire whatever medical trainer or staff that he wants, but he was the guy who went out and got Paul George. Paul George gets to come home. It's a great story for the Clippers. They've always been second fiddle to the Lakers. This at least puts them on par. And again, according to Vegas, they are the favorite to win the NBA title. For the Lakers, it's a blow, but give them credit. They quickly pivoted. And as soon as you saw Kawhi was going to the Clippers, like 15 minutes later, oh, the Lakers are signing, you know, Danny Green for $15 million a year, which is way too much.
Yeah.
Caldwell Pope, again, a clutch guy, gets signed for $8 million a year. But then, you know, Boogie Cousins can't find a home. Right. They go get Boogie Cousins, and now Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins are reunited with LeBron. It's like the Pelicans team from 2 years ago that's now in L.A. So, you know, the Lakers did a pretty good job at rebounding. They re-signed Rondo. They filled out their roster pretty quickly. They have very little depth, just like, you know, some of these other teams. So you better hope that no one gets hurt. I mean, if LeBron or AD go down, it's curtains for the Lakers. And then, you know, you look at the Raptors. This is the first time I can think of where a defending champion is going to come back and basically be gutted.
Yeah.
You know, they still have Siakam. They still have Kyle Lowry. They can either sell those guys off for spare parts and do a complete teardown like OKC is going to do, and say, we're going to rebuild, which, again, when's the last time a defending champion rebuilt the following season? Or they can say, you know what, we're going to go with the expiring contracts of Gasol, of Lowry, and then we'll build around Siakam after those guys expire a year from now. So they've got some decisions to make. And then OKC. This is very, very interesting. So they just got this haul of picks. They just traded Jeremy Grant, who was a really good player for them, for a first-round pick from Denver. Now they have Russell Westbrook and they have Steven Adams. And it's likely that they're going to move both of those guys. I think they're definitely going to move Russell Westbrook. We've heard from Woj that OKC and Russell Westbrook's agent are working together to find a trade that works for both parties. And you would hope that after 11 years in OKC and what Russell Westbrook has done for the Thunder franchise, that they're not going to send him to Orlando, or they're going to send him to some, you know, team that's rebuilding. He wants to go to a team that is going to be competitive. The Miami Heat is the team that comes to mind. And it would be really interesting. You look at Westbrook, you look at Jimmy Butler, they're both alphas.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing they have in common is they play hard on every single play. And if you look at the fabric and the DNA of the Miami Heat organization, starting with Pat Riley, going to our friend Eric Spoelstra, they want you to play hard all the time. And if there's any team in the NBA that you think of that plays hard all the time, even if they're undermanned, it's the Miami Heat. So those two in the East on that team makes them interesting. The problem, Griggs, is Westbrook has 4 years left on his contract. In the last year of that deal, he's 34 years old and he makes $47 million. And Westbrook is a guy who has knee issues and has had scopes, and he plays a pretty rugged point guard position. He's not the guy pulling up for threes all the time. He's going into the lane. He's taking a beating. So, you know, at 34, is his body really acting like it's 40? So is there a team out there? But the Heat have shown in the past that they want to acquire difference makers, guys that matter. It could give them two top 20 guys in the league on their team in Westbrook and Jimmy Butler. I think they're the odds-on favorite. Some people say Detroit, again, Orlando. But I think when it's all said and done, the Thunder do right by Westbrook and say, you wanted to go to Miami, we're going to get you there. And then, you know, it allows OKC to fully embrace a rebuild, right? Now you've cleared the decks. If they can get Miami to take both Adams and Westbrook, I think it's an even better trade for the Heat. Now you've got Adams, you've got Butler, and you've got Westbrook. That three is going to be very competitive in the East, not so much in the West. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them going forward. Now, Griggs, Another thing that's been really interesting, jersey changes. Mm-hmm. We always talk about merchandise and jersey sales and who's going to move the most jerseys. So let me read some jersey swaps for the NBA coming up this year. And then I want to hear from you, like, who do you think is going to have the number one selling jersey? So Kevin Durant, and he's been doing this a lot lately, is making his big announcements on his own social platforms, as we said he would. Right. By the way, Chris Haynes broke the Kawhi news. Mm. We had that spot on.
Nailed it.
We were spot on with Kevin Durant breaking on his own platform. We were spot on with Kyrie breaking on his own platform. That matters now. People are saying, these athletes are saying, I'm going to keep the eyeballs on my own platforms.
Smart.
Versus go give it to ESPN or the Players Tribune or anyone else. Kevin Durant announced on his social media platforms that after, you know, all of his years in the NBA wearing 35, he's now switching to the number 7. So he's going to a new team. He's switching from 35 to 7. There's going to be a lot of KD jerseys that are sold, even though he's not going to be playing this year. LeBron James, still with the Lakers, but he handed over number 23 to Anthony Davis. So Davis on a new team in a Lakers jersey wearing 23. LeBron, a new number 6, like he wore in Miami. You've also got Kyrie Irving going to Brooklyn from Boston. You've got Jimmy Butler going from Philadelphia to Miami. You've got Kawhi Leonard going from Toronto to the Clippers. You've got Paul George going from OKC to the Clippers. And you have Kemba Walker going from Charlotte to Boston. Of all of those players, who's going to sell the most jerseys next year?
I think it's Durant or LeBron.
Yeah.
Those are the two, I think. And maybe Anthony Davis third.
I'm going to go LeBron.
Yeah.
I'm going to go LeBron in the Lakers number 6.
Yeah.
I just think, because I think KD not playing is going to hurt him a little bit.
Sure.
Maybe the following season.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see. Does KD sell more jerseys this year?
Yeah.
Or next year?
Yeah.
Because I think there's going to be some people, Brooklyn Net fans, that go, I got to go out and get my KD jersey right away. But other people are going to be like, I'll wait till he's back on the court. I'm going to go get the LeBron number 6 jersey.
Yeah, I mean, Laker jerseys are so iconic, too. So they've got that going already for him, and then it's LeBron. So I think you're right. I think LeBron takes it. But that, I mean, the Brooklyn jerseys are pretty class. So they're cool looking, and the 7 looks good. So I think he'll still, Durant's going to do well, even not playing. But I think you're right. I think LeBron takes it.
If Kawhi was on social media, I would make him the favorite.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's not on social media. He doesn't market himself at all. But I still think Kawhi is going to be in the mix for top 3 jersey sellers, because he's going to go from Toronto to the Clippers. He's going home. I think there's a lot of L.A. Clipper fans that are going to go out and get that Kawhi number 2 jersey.
Yeah.
You know, PG-13 is now going to be going from OKC to the Clippers. I think he'll sell a lot. It's going to be interesting, but I'm going to go LeBron 1. I'm going to go Kawhi 2.
Okay.
And I'm going to go KD 3. So let's save this, and we'll see,
see how it goes.
You know, a year from now, what happens. But look for Russell Westbrook to be traded. I think it's actually going to happen very soon. I don't think they're going to wait till right before the season. I think the Miami Heat and OKC are motivated to get this done. Do they need a third team? That's where it could get tricky. Or can they just pull this off between the two of them? I actually think that, you know, everyone's saying, oh, you know, Miami's going to have to send a pick to OKC, and they don't have any picks because they've traded all their picks in the Jimmy Butler trade. I actually think OKC, if they unload Westbrook and Adams and those contracts onto Miami, I think they need to send a pick to Miami for taking both of those contracts.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Picks are super valuable. One of the things that's interesting is OKC got Miami's lottery pick that's protected in the Paul George trade to L.A. So what if Miami said, hey, we're going to move the protection from that pick as part of this deal? But there's so many picks going around. It's amazing. Like a month ago, people are like, oh, first round picks, they're going to be valuable. No one's going to trade them. And then we see that New Orleans trade, and we see this trade with OKC and the Clippers, and first round picks are being thrown around like, you know, nothing.
Yep.
And this is where we get to, Griggs. There's a lot of GMs like David Griffin and Sam Presti that they love the challenge of a rebuild, and they love the challenge of selling hope.
we have six future first-round picks. We may not use them for 5 years, or we may not use them at all. We may trade them in another trade. But what NBA teams do better than any other league, they sell hope. They sell hope. And, you know, the Knicks sold hope for a long time, and they didn't turn it into anything, and they're going to continue to sell hope, but a lot of teams sell hope.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
When it comes to stadiums and arenas, every sports pro knows wireless wins. And when it comes to the best wireless technology for your venue, look no further than Boingo Wireless. Boingo is the largest operator of indoor wireless networks in the U.S., providing state-of-the-art Wi-Fi and cellular services that power amazing fan experiences. And Boingo makes keeping your stadium connected easy today and in the future. Thinking about 5G? Boingo's expert team helps you carry the ball through a complex technology landscape to deliver wireless solutions that will delight fans and deepen loyalty season after season. Here's another kicker. Boingo is simply the best connected experience for your business. With Boingo, stadiums and arenas enjoy unique operating efficiencies, revenue opportunities, and digital insights into their fan base. That's a win-win. Boingo works with Major League Sports venues like Soldier Field, Vivint Smart Home Arena, State Farm Arena, and University Stadiums like University of Louisville and K-State. Our thanks to Boingo for their continued support of Sports Business Radio. We're excited to showcase how technology is changing the business of sports. If you would like more information on Boingo Wireless, visit boingo.com or email sports@boingo.com.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
Let's move on and talk about World Cup, Women's World Cup. I loved it. I know you watched it too.
Yep.
Let me give you some numbers. So obviously, U.S. Women's National Team wins the World Cup. Big deal for them. So some of the TV ratings, 14.3 million viewers tuned in for the final on Fox on Sunday. That's a good audience. It beats World Series games. It beats four out of the six Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals NBA games. So it's a big audience. It's up 19% from 2011. It is up 1% from 2015. It's 20% better than last year's men's final, Griggs. And then some other streaming numbers. Nearly a billion minutes of the World Cup content were consumed on Fox Sports digital platforms during the tournament. So all in all, a good audience. I don't want to hear about anyone saying people don't watch women's sports. This was captivating. You know, the women's team really had our attention for a month. And Griggs, the thing is, they had high expectations coming into this. They were the favorite. They were much talked about. There was a lot of political discussion around some of their players, like Megan Rapinoe. They had a lot of pressure on them, and they delivered.
They did. It was phenomenal. It always is. I love the World Cup. And this team is so, like, you just latch onto them. They're all active on social media. I mean, Twitter was awesome on Sunday. Just the post of all the celebrations and everything. And, yeah, it was just, it's a good team, a solid team. They play well together. It's fun to watch them on the field. And, yeah, it was a stellar game, and I love it.
More pay disparity between the women and the men's national team. So for people out there who don't understand, there's really a few ways that the national teams get paid. They get paid by U.S. soccer, right? And then they get paid by FIFA. There's prize money and pool money. Well, the prize money for the Women's World Cup this year, $30 million. The prize money for the Men's World Cup in 2018, $400 million. So first of all, someone needs to talk to FIFA, and Megan Rapinoe supposedly has a meeting with them scheduled soon. President Gianni Infantino, they're going to sit down and talk. What can be done to lessen that gap or have equal pay? The fans were chanting equal pay. As far as the U.S. Soccer Federation, there should be no question that the men and women make the same amount of money. The women have produced better results. They generate more revenue. They generate more sponsorships. And really, there's no argument to be had there. Like, look, the WNBA, those players should be paid more, But there is a huge gap in the revenue generated by the WNBA and the NBA. Okay? Tennis does a really good job for the most part. Wimbledon, which is going on right now, same prize money for men as there is for women. But with soccer, the women outperform the men. The women out-generate revenue than the men. Why are you not paid the same as the men? So $250,000 each is what the women will be paid by U.S. soccer for winning World Cup. If the men had won, $1.1 million. So you're paying the men four times as much, and they're not creating equal revenue. They're not generating the interest. They're not producing the result, which is winning World Cup. As the men, why are the women being paid four times less?
Yeah, I think it's, like you said, it's just like Wimbledon and some of these other leagues have it figured out. It just seems like a no-brainer. Obviously, the women's team is proving that they show up, they win games.
Yeah.
That home jersey is like the number one selling jersey right now for the women's team. I mean, they're just obviously outperforming the men, and that is way too big of a gap. I mean, that's 750,000 different.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is crazy. Now, as we've always said with the Olympics and with World Cup, like the spotlight is on them now, but how do you keep the momentum going after the spotlight isn't on you anymore? And for women's soccer in America, there's a league called the NWSL. And many of the World Cup participants, not just U.S., they play in the NWSL. But it's interesting, Griggs, players can make as little as $16,538 playing in the NWSL. Probably none of the World Cup players, but if you're a lesser player that didn't go to World Cup, you're making $16,538. Okay? Not a lot. Put it this way. You can't just do that and nothing else. Like, you've got to go get a side job. Are you a barista? Are you working soccer camps? Are you doing something else? That cannot be your only job, because who can live on $16,538? If the momentum is going to be kept going, they need to sign new sponsorships. They need to be out in the media. The good news is the NWSL has signed some new deals in the last week. Number one, they will have the remaining games on their schedule on ESPN and ESPN2. That's good, because they need that exposure. They were on A&E and Lifetime before, and that deal ended, so they weren't really on anywhere. So now, you know, they're coming back, they're hot. Those games are going to be on ESPN and ESPN2. That's good for the league. It's good for women's soccer. Number two, they signed a deal with Budweiser. Big brand. It's now the official beer of the NWSL. So, Griggs, you go to an NWSL game, which, by the way, if you want to support women's sports and women's soccer, buy a ticket to an NWSL game. We live in Portland. The Portland Thorns here, which feature Tobin Heath and Lindsey Horan and a few of the other World Cup players, they average 18,000 fans per game for the women. And if you want to support women's soccer, go to the games, right, Griggs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like wildfire here in Portland. It's awesome. The Thorns and the Timbers, both. But the Thorns, it's crazy. And I think they're the number highest selling women's professional sport anywhere in the world.
Yeah, in the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's worth it. I mean, it's entertaining. And we've got a couple World Cup players on the team. It's great.
So the Thorns have shown the blueprint to the rest of the league. And, you know, granted, they're owned by the Timbers, so they're owned by an MLS team. So they have 160 people on their staff that can devote their time to both the Timbers and the Thorns. Not everyone is set up that way. Some of the NWSL teams don't have an MLS club that they're attached to. But for the success of the league going forward, I think that needs to be the model more and more. And then, so you've got Budweiser, you've got ESPN on board covering your games, and then literally just today, the 2019 U.S. Women's National Team Victory Tour, presented by Allstate, kicks off Saturday, August 3rd, when USA hosts Ireland at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. It's going to be on ESPN. There's going to be a 5-match schedule for these women. They're going to get paid for the Victory Tour. You know, obviously ESPN's part of it, so there's going to be some TV money. I'm sure there's going to be other sponsors in addition to Allstate. This is all good stuff. And again, you know, these things can't just be the flash in the pan. They've got to be sustainable, Griggs. And when you have Budweiser, ESPN, and Allstate as part of building what you're doing going forward, it's a great start.
Well, I think it's good too, right? The momentum of 2 years in a row winning the World Cup and getting the ESPN exposure, because you know they're going to promo the heck out of it. So you're going to see those games. People are going to watch those games because you're going to have the buzz around it. And then, yeah, Allstate, Budweiser, you got some good names there. So I think moving forward, they're making the right steps to get this team and the women more in front of the public.
And by the way, I think Women's World Cup should be every 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Not every 4 years, because they're not playing in leagues all over the world. They're much more available.
Yeah.
And if you want to earn more money, you know, maybe the deal is you go to FIFA and you go, all right, you're going to pay us the same as the men, but we're going to play every 2 years instead of every 4 years. So you're having it, you know, you're more in the public eye.
Yeah.
Because World Cup is a global event. You're getting more TV revenue because you're doing this twice as much. Instead of every 4 years, you're doing it every 2 years. I think it's a win for everyone. Now, I know the training is hard. I know the travel is hard. But if you want to play soccer for a living and make money at it, and you're an elite woman soccer player, why not compete every 2 years on the world stage? And then, you know, in the United States, the NWSL is the feeder league that's developing young talent. Like, you look at someone like Allie Long. A few years ago, she was a nobody. She plays for the Portland Thorns, then she goes to the Seattle Reign. Now, you know, she's on the U.S. women's soccer team. So it's a good development. It's obviously a way for the women to make money when they're not in World Cup. So there's a lot of benefits. But I would move World Cup to every 2 years instead of every 4 years. A few other notes. According to Breaking Tea Co., Sunday was the company's number one online sales day of 2019. They sold more U.S. women's national team product in the hour after the game than they did in the month previously when World Cup happened. So top four selling shirts, Griggs: USA Rapinoe, four-time world champs, Rapinoe Bird 2020, and that's the tea from Alex Morgan when she sipped the tea after she scored the goal against England in the semifinals, which everyone needs to get over themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. How many times, like she said, do we see men celebrate and grab body parts and do all this stuff? But if a woman sips tea, that's offensive. Look, this U.S. women's team has some swag.
Yep.
And they have fun. They got off the plane in Newark. When they landed back in the U.S., they were lit.
Yeah.
They had some champagne on the flight.
Just a few.
Just a few. They liked to party. They posted videos from the locker room.
Hilarious.
Doing dance celebrations. They work hard. And they play hard.
Yep.
And I have no problem with that. And, you know, as long as you're not getting arrested or doing anything horrible, because there's a lot of girls like my daughter, who's 14, who looks up to them. But I have no problem with them having a little swag and a little personality. And you know what? If you can walk the talk like they did,
yeah,
then go do it. If you are bragging and you're doing all those things and, you know, you don't make it to the semifinals and you lose in the knockout round, then you got a problem.
It's always funny to see, too, how as the World Cup goes on, you get these shirts come out of a celebration. I love how it all comes together at the end of it, and it's great. And Rapinoe's, you know, with the arms up, looking up, is just classic. I mean,
so
it's the
there
best.
Were two iconic poses kind of from this World Cup from U.S. women's soccer players, and it was the Rapinoe, you know, kind of like, here I am on stage, and I've, you know, scored another penalty kick goal. And then there was the sipping of the tea.
That's
like,
great.
Those are the two snapshots that you will take from this World Cup going forward. And both of them show a lot of personality. And Rapinoe and Alex Morgan have personality. They're not, you know, quiet little people who are going to sit in the background. They got things to say. And they have goals to score. And they play, you know, the forward position. And they're flamboyant. And I have no problem with that. Griggs, as Nike always does, there's a lot of things that Nike screws up, especially lately, and I won't even go into that. But one of the things they do very well is they are so good at reacting quickly to a big moment. And this was a big moment. And they are sponsors of the U.S. women's national team, the jerseys, the shoes, all the gear that they wear. The first commercial spot after the U.S. women win the World Cup, an incredible spot from Nike. We retweeted it out at SB Radio. You can find it on YouTube. But a really good spot. And I'm always impressed when companies seize the moment. It's the spotlight is on something and you've got something in the can that's produced and you've got it ready to roll out. I guess if they lose that game, you can't roll the spot out, but they had it ready to go. Cause I get so frustrated when I see companies who sponsor things and they're paying all this money to sponsor things and then they never activate around the athlete or the team.
Yeah. And that you're right. I think that is one of Nike's best highlights is those recap spots right after a champion wins because they're always done so well. And just the mix of the highlights and the clips and the quotes, it's just, they always do it so brilliant. And it was masterfully done. It looks great. It fit with the vibe of the team perfectly. And it was like, I saw it right after. I'm like, perfect. Nike does it again. Looks yeah. good.
Top three local markets for the complete tournament, World Cup. Austin, San Diego, Kansas City. Interesting. I would have thought Portland would be in there,
yeah.
to be honest with you. But, you know, a lot of people, 14.3 million viewers for the final on Fox. Big global audience. You know, if people go, well, why does Fox buy World Cup? Why do they spend all that money? Because they're getting viewership yeah. like that. And
Fox does a great job, too. They have a great crew. They have, you know, past players. They've got a lot of good analysts and field recording or reporting. Alex Curry does a great job. I think they make it look good. It looks pretty. It looks big. I like it.
Ali Wagner did a nice job, the commentator, former player. And, you know, she really pointed out a lot of things. Look, Jill Ellis, the manager of the team, the coach of the team, she made a lot of, like, pretty controversial lineup changes. Like, a lot of people think Lindsey Horan is the best player on the team. She barely played yeah. the semis and didn't play in the finals. And, you know, you go with some people. Rose was great. You know, she scored the second goal. And the story I love about her is that I read a tweet and it said in 2015 she was playing for a semi-pro team in Seattle. She was watching World Cup in a pizza shop. And you fast forward 4 years later, she's scoring
yeah.
the clinching goal pretty
a
much.
Beautiful I mean, goal.
A
too.
Beautiful goal. I yeah. mean, you know, had to dribble through some people. And by the way, I love Tobin Heath, but my God, dribble, 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 yeah. dribble, dribble, like shoot the yeah. ball. And here's a comparison, and this is a compliment to Tobin Heath and to Kyrie Irving. Tobin Heath is Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is Tobin Heath. Watch them with the ball. They are magicians with their moves, their footwork, faking people yeah. out. Like, it is a highlight reel every time you watch them do their thing. But with Tobin in the final, and I think she got frustrated too, get the shot off.
yeah.
And they won, so it didn't matter. But I wanted her to score a goal, and yeah. she had some chances, and she did a few too many, you know, jukes and moves and just shoot the ball.
She breaks some ankles for sure.
Oh my God. Like more than any other player yeah. in World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
On any team, Tobin Heath breaks ankles and Kyrie does the same thing. So when I watch them, I'm
it's
like.
It's a good comparison. You're right. And I love how the defenders are just spinning. Like, where do I go?
They're falling on the ground,
yeah,
literally.
They don't know what to do. It's great.
By the way, did you see the clip of Floyd Mayweather in Vegas yeah. was playing in some like summer league game or something? And I don't know who the player was, but just took Floyd Mayweather to the ground. Like, you never see Floyd yeah. Mayweather on the mat in yeah. boxing. Oh, he was square on his butt
yeah.
on the basketball court because he got faked out. And he was
that.
Laughing about it and everything, but that's pretty funny. And it's hilarious now because those videos seem to make the rounds, oh, whether yeah. it's soccer, basketball, football wide receiver, or yep. running back juking a defensive player. The plays of people putting someone on the ground
yeah.
just with their moves, pretty funny. All right, Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight in Cleveland. Griggs, I just don't feel a lot of buzz around it. And, you know, this is the problem, and we could do a whole show on this. Pro Bowl, NBA All-Star Game, Major League Baseball, NHL All-Star Game. It's for the fans. It's mostly for the sponsors at this point. But does anyone care? Like, I'm not going to sit around tonight and go, oh, my God, I can't wait to post up and watch the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Baseball, in my opinion, doesn't do a good job marketing their players. I mean, here's Pete Alonso, who wins the Home Run Derby last night, as we said at the beginning of the show. Got $1 million. He makes $550,000 total. He plays for the New York Mets in New York. I bet you if I walk down the street in a major city and said, who's Pete Alonso? 8 out of 10 people would be like, I don't know.
Yep.
And yes, he's a rookie. But baseball does a very poor job at marketing their stars. And I just feel like when this game takes place, yeah, people know Aaron Judge, people know Mike Trout, people know Bryce Harper, but there's not a lot of the players that you know. And also, yes, I know home field advantage is at stake, but I just don't get the sense that the players give a rip.
Yeah.
And one of the things, actually, if I tune in tonight, and Fox has done this well in the past, is they mic a player in the field and they have a conversation during the half inning with that player in the outfield usually.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, try some new things. If you're going to get me engaged in the broadcast and get me to pay attention, give me that kind of access or do some things like that where, like, I want to see a screaming ball hit at someone and they're mic'd up and they got to catch it or dive on the ground.
I think that happened last year. It was somebody in the outfield and they hit a pop, or it was a, he had to go running after it and you're running on them. It was great. I mean, that's the stuff, you're right, that engages.
Yeah.
It's something different from a regular game. Gives you a reason to tune in. I think they should do that more too.
But I don't know. I'm not excited about it. I don't circle it on the calendar.
No.
NBA All-Star, a little bit more excited. Pro Bowl, I don't give a rip about.
Nope.
And I don't think the players do either. And NHL, I'm sorry. People aren't getting excited unless you're in the host city or, you know, you're in the market of an All-Star. You really don't care. It doesn't appeal to the masses. So it'll be interesting to see the TV ratings. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say they're the worst ratings in the last 5 years.
I think you're probably right.
Maybe the last 10 years. But we'll have
Could
the
be.
Ratings for you on the show next week. All right, this is big news. The NFL and the NFLPA, I've always said, probably have the worst relationship of any league and its players association. There is bad blood. And if you look at it at the core, it's pretty easy to figure out. NFL players play the most barbaric sport there is. They have the shortest career span of any other league, and they don't have guaranteed contracts. Your signing bonus is your only guarantee. So if you go get hurt, they can cut you. They can waive you. They can walk away. In the NBA, if you have a devastating injury, if you're Kevin Durant and you miss an entire season, you're still getting paid $40 million. Not the case in the NFL. But Adam Schefter reports in the past week that the NFL and the NFLPA, or they're meeting. They're talking about a collective bargaining agreement. They want to increase the talks, and they would ideally like to have something worked out by the start of the 2019 season. Griggs, I didn't see this coming. I thought this would be a bloodbath. I thought players might hold out for guaranteed contracts, which I've already said would probably cost a season. There's so many other issues at stake. Players want a shorter season, or they want less preseason games. They want more rest. They want fewer workouts, concussion protocols, which, by the way, side note, two women get banged in the heads in U.S. Women's World Cup. One's bleeding, Becky Sauerbrunn, and they basically put a black patch around her and send her back out. If she's in the NFL, which, again, barbaric sport, they hold her out the rest of the game in the concussion protocol. In soccer, I guess they just tape you up and send you back out there. So anytime that people want to question women and their toughness, check out the women in World Cup, because they were like bleeding and have like a Band-Aid on their head with a concussion, and they run back out there 2 minutes later. But there's a lot of core issues, obviously, you know, CTE and health benefits, and those are some of the main issues, core issues. What happens when you retire? Are you taken care of in retirement because you've played this barbaric sport? When do you qualify for retirement? Do you have to play a certain number of years in the league? But obviously, guaranteed contracts is at the forefront of those conversations, because if you're a player in the NFL, you want to know that you're getting paid even if you get hurt. And Major League Baseball has guaranteed contracts. The NBA has guaranteed contracts, and the NHL has guaranteed contracts. And tough sports, but not as tough as the NFL. So the two sides have scheduled negotiation sessions for July 17 to 19. It'll be the first time both sides engage in talks for three consecutive days. Will there be a deal coming out of those conversations? Griggs, that would be, so far this year, that'd be amongst the biggest news of the year. Because, again, most people like myself thought they're not going to have discussions, and if they do, it's going to be last second, and then there's probably going to be a lockout or a strike, and this could get real ugly. So if NFL, which, by the way, makes so much money that there should be plenty of money to divide for everyone, if they can get this worked out, that is a huge win for them, and it's a huge win for the fans, and it's a huge win for the TV networks and all of the entities that provide content around the NFL.
I agree, and it's still baffling that NFL players don't have guaranteed contracts for what they do on a weekly basis. So I think it's a no-brainer that it gets that deal happens, but we'll have to see. But I agree. I think it'll be one of the biggest stories of the year if they come through quickly and get it done in the 3 days.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
One word you wouldn't typically associate with a dress shirt is comfort. However, the folks over at Mizzen & Main are changing this. Their shirts are incredibly comfortable. Mizzen & Main makes dress shirts for men that fixes everything that's ever been wrong with shirts for so long. Their shirts breathe, stretch, and wick away moisture. It's like athletic wear disguised as a dress shirt, making them great for travel. They've taken the hassle out of looking great through wrinkle resistance and the ability to wash your shirts at home. No more last-minute ironing. No more after-work trips to the dry cleaner. It's a shirt that's worked for thousands of customers, including hundreds of professional athletes like J.J. Watt and Phil Mickelson. Head over to MizzenAndMain.com and use promo code SBR to get $10 off your dress shirt. That's MizzenAndMain.com, code SBR. I can tell you one thing. I'll be wearing Mizzen & Main dress shirts at all future Sports Business Radio roadshows and Sports PR Summit events. I can't wait.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
All right, and finally this week, the Sports Business Radio Roadshow. We had our first one in April in Los Angeles, presented by Boingo, and it was with Jeannie Buss. Our next one is going to be in New York again, so this will be year number 5 in a row that we've been in New York with our friends from Boingo, sitting down with big name guests. We've had David Stern, we've had Mark Emmert, last year we had Oliver Luck, and it's either going to be in November or December. We're figuring that out. We're targeting a few people in the New York area. If you have suggestions for a featured conversation for the road show in New York in November, December, tweet me at SB Radio. I'd love to hear your suggestions. But, you know, look, Griggs, the commissioners are based there.
Mm-hmm.
We've had David Stern. We've had Mark Emmert. You know, would Roger Goodell sit down? Would Rob Manfred sit down? Yeah. Would our friend Adam Silver sit down? Those are three people that we could look at as targets. Coach Fizz is my friend from the Knicks. There's athletes. There's lots of different people to choose from. So we'll see. But we'll come up with someone good. And, you know, thanks to Boingo for powering the Sports Business Radio Roadshow. But, Griggs, even more important, going to New York in November or December.
Yeah.
Maybe we do it on a turkey during the Thanksgiving Day parade with Macy's. And you and I and the guests sit on the turkey and go down.
Down to the float. I like that.
Because we have our own audio setup.
Yeah,
now.
we can do it.
Even though our audio was terrible for my interviews in San Francisco.
Well, that was a different setup.
Yeah, that was a different setup. Audio corrupted.
No, but that'd be good. I think an SBR float would look great on Macy's Day Parade. So I'm good with that.
Maybe a Boingo Sports Business Radio Roadshow float going down the avenue in Macy's.
So, the avenue. I like that.
We'll think about that.
It's always fun in New York, especially at the holidays, as we've done.
Man.
We dominate it. We usually hit the ice skating rinks or one of the two. And, you know, we always eat well in New York. Bagels we hit quite often.
And it's a quick trip, too.
This one is a quick one, yeah.
We basically go in the day before, do the show, and then leave the following day.
Yeah.
But
it's fun.
We get a lot done. And, yeah, there's no city as great as New York in the holiday season,
correct,
November and December. So, I don't know. Is there anyone that you want to hear from in?
I think Goodell would be fascinating if we could actually get him to talk.
Yeah.
But who knows?
I don't know.
Like, Manfred, too, though, would be good.
Manfred would be interesting. I've never had him on. Goodell, I think he just is a guy that plays defense.
Yeah.
He comes into the interview and he's like, all right, I'm playing defense.
I'm not talking
about
that.
I'm Dikembe Mutombo. and I'm wagging my finger at you every time you try and ask me a tough question.
You know, actually, you've had Adam Silver at the Sports PR Summit.
Yeah.
And he's fascinating.
So, yeah.
And he talks.
He does.
And he's engaging. He's fun.
Yeah.
So I think he also would be a great one for the roadshow. So maybe that would be fun.
Another guy who lives in New York that time of year, who just, I love him, and it's been years since he's been on the show, John McEnroe.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
bring his guitar.
Bring his guitar. Oh, my God. That would be hilarious. Part two of the guitar with John McEnroe. But, yeah, if you have suggestions for who we should sit down with for the Sports Business Radio Roadshow presented by Boingo in New York, it's either going to be November or December, tweet me at SB Radio. Send me a note on Instagram at Sports Business Radio. But we look forward to that, and we thank our friends from Boingo for their support.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
I can't tell you how many times over the years on Sports Business Radio that a PR person is asked to listen in on my interviews with their CEO, GM, coach, or athlete. They also want to call us in our studio so that we don't have the phone number of the high-profile person who is calling us for our interview. Blinder has developed a technology that solves these issues that have existed for years. Use Blinder's unique technology to connect your athlete, coach, or executive's personal phone for any interview without sharing their private information. Remotely control the phone interviews, set start and finish times, monitor online or with the Blinder mobile app, and listen to a recording of the call at any time for complete peace of mind. With Blinder, you're finally in control. The system works globally from any phone line. Scheduling a call takes seconds. Customizable push notifications ensure a connection, and no one needs to download anything to make or receive a call. PR people everywhere should be using this helpful technology. Blinder is now the technology we use for the official guest line for Sports Business Radio. Learn how to start your free trial by visiting blinderhq.com/SB Radio. Now we're talking.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
Well, that's it for this edition of Sports Business Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our show staff, Brian Griggs and Josh Blank. Thanks to our friends at Boingo Wireless for powering our Sports Business Radio Roadshow. Follow them online at boingo.com or on Twitter at Boingo. I want to welcome ZipRecruiter to our family of sponsors. Again, really happy to have them on board. My listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/SBR. That's ZipRecruiter.com/SBR. Happy to have them on board. And we want to remind you all the great places you can get the Sports Business Radio podcast. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Tune in. Wherever you get your podcast, you can find Sports Business Radio. So download us for on-demand listening. Subscribe, rate, and review us as well. We always appreciate the reviews. Follow me on Twitter in between shows at SB Radio. Follow us on Instagram at Sports Business Radio. For Brian Griggs, I'm Brian Berger. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on Sports Business Radio.